Time for that big hour of gardening greatness, and that means Judy Sharp is here. Judy, nice to catch up with you. It's been a bit of a while.
Yeah, it has been, Mark, yeah. So I enjoy catching up with you.
We'll have to make up for it by answering lots of questions about gardening, so we can tick that off.
Yes.
You got some topics just in case we need to fill some time.
Yep, I have.
And lastly, you are not allowed to try and put me on the spot like you do every time I'm here.
Okay, well, I start with a topic.
First, Judy, you want to take a look at what happened when those big rains made their way our way shortly.
Oh, I do. Because
what happened?
Well, there's a lot of people dealing with the same problem that I dealt with, Mark. I was thrilled because I've got a big bed of pink impatiens at the front door. Standing in the middle is a teddy bear magnolia. You know what they are, big flowers, beautiful.
You do this every time. But if you've got one at your place, you know exactly what Judy's referencing here.
So anyway, after the rain, I went out the next day and the impatiens were surviving. I went out with my lovely little granddaughter, came home, got out of the car, and Louisa, Scott's daughter, said, "Nan, what are those things on your plants?"
Uh-oh.
Grasshoppers. Grasshoppers. Huge. And then there were little babies as well, Mark.
So they'd made their home on right where you didn't want them to be making their home.
No, and very unusual, they even attacked the big leaves on the magnolia. So I said to Louisa, "Run in the garage and get the pyrethrum spray and come out here and we're going to kill them." So we did. So I thought I'd mention it today because a lot of people have grasshoppers. So all they need to use is a pyrethrum spray, Mark.
That's the one, huh?
I've got rid of them.
And just like that, gone.
Just gone. Ah.
They've gone somewhere
else. They're lucky I didn't pick them off and break their wings off.
We'll have an R rating slapped onto us, Judy.
We will.
For violence. All right, first up from Beresfield, it's Jean. G'day, Jean. You have a question about growing grass and the lawn. What's happening there, Jean?
Hello, Jean. Hi. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good. Thanks very much for helping me with this situation. I've just got an area of my lawn that's basically basically grass is just not growing on it. We had a time where there was some things sort of lying on it, and then we sort of got rid of that. But the grass has never really grown back, and I'm just asking some tips on how to... I've put some ryegrass seed and covered it up and, aerated the thing, tried to turn the soil and all the good stuff and keep it watered, but I'm not having much luck, so...
Right, okay, Jean. Look, I think we need to go a bit further.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you need to dig it up and get some good potting mix or something like that, lawn mix, and actually lay down a new lawn mix down there.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're kind of barking up the wrong tree at the moment because you haven't got long to get it growing.
No, that's what I said. It's the wrong time of year to
sort of... Yeah, it is. Yeah, but I'm trying to... Jean, I think you need to go past the grass seed and maybe get some turf.
Okay. Yep.
Or even if you dig out some runners out of the rest of your lawn and plant them there in the good mix and keep the water up to it, unfortunately, now. But, you'll get some growing before, we'll get still growth before we get to winter.
And so how do you go, with the runners? Do you just, is it the same preparation as the seed or?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
But, if you can... grab a bit of turf from somewhere, that would be really good.
Yeah, I've got some runners as well, so that'll be the other option now.
Okay.
Try a bit of everything.
Yeah,
okay.
And then
Water
some Flourish over it every week to encourage growth.
All right, best of luck with everything there, Jean. I hope it all works out for you. From Fern Bay, it's Terry. Terry, what would you like to know about EcoWell? What's your thoughts there?
Hello, Terry.
Yeah, hi, Judy. I had some really good information from you guys a couple of years ago about cottony scale and treating it with Bushman's remedy was a bit of detergent and methylated spirits combination and spray it all over the bush, and it worked really well. But I've got scale, and the recommended thing is Echo oil or neem oil, but I just thought there might be a Bushman's guide rather than have to pay the $20 a bottle or whatever. And neem oil's very expensive. If you know of an oil that I can emulsify in a spray pack or spray unit to spray the fruit trees with.
Terry, if you got Eco Oil for $20, I'd grab it. I've heard much larger amounts to buy that eco oil. So what are you using it on? What do you need to spray?
Lime tree, lemon tree, guava tree. Got a bit of scale on that, and it's recommended.
So you've got scale, have you?
Yes.
Why don't you just spray with Marathon and white oil?
Well, the white oil, what is the... it's the white oil's in a, probably a pack of 12 from Bunnings at $20, I don't know. Is there an oil? My question mainly is, know of an oil, a bushman's oil, like, I don't mean a car oil so much, is it olive oil or is there other oils that you...
Yeah, it looks like we might be starting to lose you there, Terry. But Judy, just the last bit of advice for Terry there on that.
I think Terry, you need to, honestly, if you could, I know why you want to the Bushman's recipe, but I think if you've got real problems, I would definitely go with the Marathon and the white oil.
All right, best of luck with everything there for you, Terry. Robert from Maitland. Robert, you'd like to ask Judy a question about citrus curly leaf. What were your thoughts there, Robert?
Yeah, I've got two trees, a mandarin and a orange tree. They're in pots, and at the moment they've got a lot of curly leaf, and I noticed they had some white bud-looking things in between the branches, and their ants have been run up and eaten at those.
Right, okay.
I've brought some stuff from Bunnings. It's a, pyrethrum spray?
Pyrethrum?
Pyrethrum, yep. And the other one was a rose spray for black spot and insect kill. Can I use that one on it as well? Or
yeah, look, I have to confess, Robert, I've got a little lime and it's covered in citrus leaf miner. That's what you've got. And I honestly find I spray it and it clears up for a while, but it doesn't affect my tree fruiting. So is your tree still fruiting?
No, they're only young. In pots, I've got to, I think they've got to be a couple of years. I've been pulling the buds off as they come so they can grow a bit more.
All right. Now, were they grafts?
One was, I'd say they were. Yeah, one's going to be a full-size mandarin and yep. The other one's a miniature orange.
Yeah, well, mine's only a graft. I keep them there because one of my sons loves to put that in his gin and tonic. I'm a good mother, aren't I? I'm a really good mother. So, look, honestly, Robert, the other thing I do use, I just use pyrethrum, and I use that fairly often. But, you know, it's a hard thing to beat, but it doesn't really cause a lot of damage to fruiting.
Okay, yeah. It's going to probably be another 12 months or 2 years before I'll let it fruit, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm a bit lousy. I'm letting mine fruit. I've got three little limes on it.
Yeah, I've got a small lime one. It's going all right. It's just that, the orange tree, it's like I said, it's only young. It's only still in a pot until I move over to another place and put it in the ground. But, yeah, branches don't look like they're big enough to hold fruit, really.
Yeah, but, Robert, tell me, what do you fertilise them with?
Just a Yates citrus fertiliser.
Okay, and they're in pots?
Yeah.
Well, just be a bit careful using that because they might get burnt. What I use at home is Sudden Impact for roses, surprisingly.
Okay, yep.
Yeah, Sudden Impact for roses. It's alkaline and the citrus really like it.
Okay, can you use that pretty often, can you?
Well, only every couple of months, you know, when you see it's washed up or used away, just throw another couple of handfuls around the pot again.
Okay, what was that one again? Sorry.
Sudden Impact for Roses. It's in a red, it's got a red lid and it's white and red in the back, in the bottom.
Okay, no worries then.
Okay, good luck with that, Robert.
Yeah, thanks, Robert. Think of like Sudden Impact, the Clint Eastwood movie. Judy, that's another way to look at it.
Of course, I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah, go ahead, make my day.
You do have the answers. You do have the answers.
We've got some. All right, Sue from Charlestown, thank you so much for your patience. We've got you here with Judy now and a question on your Agapanthus. What's happening?
Yes, good morning. How are you? Oh, good afternoon. I just wanted to know if it's time to separate the Agapanthus now.
Oh, definitely, Sue. I'm glad you brought that up. Definitely.
Right.
And have you cut out... I've seen so many Agapanthus with all the dead stems still on them. Have you got rid of those?
Yeah, I got rid of those ages
ago. Oh, you're a good girl. Yeah.
They don't look real good, do they?
No, they don't. They look dreadful. I can't understand why people leave them on there. They maybe think they're going to have babies, do you think?
Yeah, maybe, yeah. When I transplant, like, separate them, do I cut the actual leaves down a bit or I can just...
No. Look, they're so hardy. Just, dig around it and get some root and then spread them out.
Okay, then. Judy, just another quick question.
Yeah.
I've got some poinsettias on my front veranda and they get most sun.
Yep.
And last year I was a little bit neglectful with them and they pretty well died, so I cut them back. Now, they've come up. They're about, I don't know, I'm the old 18 inches, but I'm not getting any red leaves. Can I do anything to change that?
Right, okay. You're not getting any red leaves.
Yeah, you know how you get the, they come up, they're green, and then you've got the red on the top.
Right, okay.
Yeah, poinsettias. But you have a Christmas.
But they won't get red leaves until we get the right weather conditions again.
Oh, okay.
They should be green now. Yeah, they should be.
Oh, good.
Mine are green, and they will get the red leaves when it's time to get the flowers on them, because that's what the flowers are the leaves.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, so don't panic. Just give it a little bit of food to keep them happy.
Okay. Thanks, Judy.
Thank you, Sue, for your call.
All right, best of luck there, Sue. So the leaves, Judy, they are actually, the green ones, they're actually where they should be
now. They are.
Excellent. Yeah. All right, thank you so much, Sue. G'day, Graham and Merriweather. What's happening with those white bugs?
Look, they're a real nuisance, Barbara. I've had them for quite a few years on my lily billies. I've cut them right back, I've sprayed them, and they seem to keep coming back nearly every year.
Okay, Graham, can you tell me, when you say white bugs, is it like scale?
Yeah, it's like scale, and they're sort of waxy. They hang on, and they're very difficult to kill because of nothing seems to penetrate.
Okay.
What I was doing, I've been using the oil, that Eco oil, and I've been mixing it with a little bit of detergent, I think I'm getting a better result with that.
Right. Okay.
It seems to stick to it better than not having that detergent in at all. But I'm finding it hard to break its cycle.
Okay, Graham. Look, my answer is Marathon and white oil. Have you ever tried Marathon and white oil on it?
Marathon
and white oil.
I don't think I have, no.
Yeah, well, you can buy that as a ready mix and then you've just got to add the water or whatever. But, it's definitely the best way to go for scale on lily pillies. I've got a couple at home and that's what I use to keep it under control because they're very, very used to getting scale. So they're also used to letting it live there.
Yes, so, very much so.
Yeah, Marathon and white oil, go out and find some. You'll find some at a good garden centre.
Okay, now can I just put a little bit of detergent with that too?
I don't think you'd need to, Graham.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Okay, righto. Thank you very much.
Sounds like your wife's in the background giving you a hand.
All right, best of luck, Graham, there with that one. Heading to Edgeworth and good afternoon, Keith. Your buffalo lawn has died and the army grubber in play. What's happening, Keith?
Yeah, good afternoon. Good to talk to you. We just come back 2 weeks ago before the fuel went up. Just did 5,000 Ks in 4 weeks and my lawn's dead.
Oh.
And the buffalo with the mixture of Kaiku, the Kaiku is probably 300 mil high, very sparse, thin, but all, it just took 2 seconds to take top off of the mower. But all the buffalo is dead, brown grey.
Okay, so have you dug down, Keith, and you think you've got army grub?
Well, I've had army grub nearly every year. It comes through, you can see the line coming day by day.
Right,
I've had that under control.
Right.
Just with dishwasher liquid stuff and because I've been home all the time for years, I've had no problem. But when I went away, come back, gone.
Keith, you were away for a while, weren't you?
Yes.
Well, Keith...
Everyone took care of the pool and everything else, but no one looked at the grass.
But, Keith, we've had such dry weather. We've had... We've had a little bit of rain now, but, boy, oh, boy, if you left a buffalo for how long?
Three and a half weeks.
Three and a half weeks, okay. Well, I think the main thing you can do now is... dig down, make sure you haven't got the army grub, but now try and keep the water up to it, and the buffalo might shoot again.
Yeah, all right. Yeah. Right, so you reckon water. I put, what's it called, dynamic lifter on it, just a pebble, you know, and that's done no good. Just a bit of hose in.
Get a good lawn food.
And me Staffordshire Terrier loves the dynamic.
Yeah, of course, yeah. I can imagine. Okay, look, I think you need to do a bit of work there, Keith, but certainly I would be getting a good lawn fertiliser. And you can find buffalo ones, and they're really, really good.
Thank you so much, Keith. We better let Keith go. Judy's got some work to do, you say.
Oh, gosh, has he ever.
All right. Continuing on now, and tea gardens as we're heading. G'day, Peter. You've got some weeds around the roses. What's the story there, Peter?
Yeah, I look after my father-in-law's garden up there, and he's got some beautiful roses. And it gets a weed. It looks like a three-leaf clover, and I don't like putting any chemicals near the roses, so I dig it out, and it's got little white things like on the root part, and they fall off, and then they just re-sprout again.
Right, okay.
I can't get rid of them.
Yeah.
I don't know what they are. Wouldn't have a clue.
Unfortunately, Peter, I think you might have to hit them with something heavy. Are you able to put on some cotton gloves and some heavier gloves like rubber gloves, and just get some Zero and wipe the weeds with that so you're not touching the roses?
Yep.
That's going to be the only alternative.
Yeah, okay then. I'll try that. Yeah. I'll let you know.
And Peter, you're being very good. Is it to your father-in-law?
Yes, he's 95.
Oh, is he? Well, I'm glad you're looking after him. Yeah, good on you. But I wonder if his roses need a little prune now too, you know, a summer prune.
Yeah, well, that's the part that we're going to start. I'm trying to learn how to do that too.
Okay, good on you. You'll see some new shoots coming out, cut just about a quarter of an inch above them on an angle.
Okay. Righto then, thank
you. But be careful with the Zero, but you just do it with gloves, and that's a good way to do it. But you need to have... You need two pair of gloves. You need the cotton ones and one where you're not going to get it on your skin.
Yep, okay then.
Okay, good solution, but it's hard work.
Yeah, it sounds like the one of the keys you're trying to impose there, Judy, is that we do not want any skin contact of any kind
there. No, that's right, yeah. So that's how Scott Sharp does it.
Okay.
Yeah, well, so he doesn't do mine, but you know.
Come on, Scotty, where are you? All right. Now, Judy, Wendy has sent us a note here, and thanks for that, Wendy. She's thrown up some pictures of cymbidiums. Is that the right way to say
that? That's the right way to say it,
Off to a good start. Now, you reckon they look healthy, all apart from the brown spot. So can you describe to everybody else what we're looking at and then have a crack at this for Wendy?
Yeah, sure. Look, it's a very, very good-looking orchid. The brown spots are only on the ends of the leaves.
Mm-hmm.
So I think something's probably eating them. There are spots a little bit further up. So perhaps it needs it needs a spray, definitely. It will need a spray of maybe some Malathon because something is eating those leaves.
All right, so you reckon Malathon would be the way to go for Wendy?
Yeah, you know, you've got to be a bit careful with orchids. So, Wendy, don't make it too strong. If you don't find that successful, just use some pyrethrum. But I would cut those black tips off, which I can see you have been doing.
Oh, yeah, there's a couple of them there you can see that.
She's been cutting them off, yeah.
She's got out the giant pair of scissors and away she's gone. Look at that one.
But it is very healthy looking, Mark, very healthy looking.
Yeah, well, that's the thing too. I mean, you can have something that's a little bit of a problem, but overall it's doing okay,
It's really good, but you can see it's the ends of the leaves they're trying to eat or make a mess of.
All right.
It could be fungal.
Okay.
Could be fungal as well.
Just a little TLC for you, Wendy.
Yeah, TLC. And what about fungus? What will we use for fungus?
Well, you'll let us know right now, Judy, what we should use for fungus.
Maybe some Zinib or some Mancozeb.
All right. I would not have got that in a million years. All right. But thank you so much for that, Wendy. Hope some of that helps you out. And feel free to bounce back to us in a little while once some of Judy's suggestions have worked out for you. Look, in the meanwhile, you've got a little bit of housekeeping for us to wrap up with, a couple of topics there.
I do. And, you know, just a little question for you, Mark.
Why?
Oh, because, you know, I like to know that you know these beautiful things to go and buy someone for a gift.
Oh, okay. Well, let's have at it.
Yeah, okay. Rightio. I'm not trying to trick you.
Oh, yeah. We'll see on that. We'll see.
Well, Mark, at the moment, one of the best gifts you can buy are Cyclemen. They are fabulous.
Okay.
They're only available at this time of year, and in the Northern Hemisphere, they come up from under the snow.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, they're fabulous. They're very tough plants. So when you buy one for someone or yourself even, I should bring one in for you.
Well, you could if you want to go digging around the snow.
No. You can buy them. They're out in all the stores now. So, cool. And the beauty of them is they're great colour inside for winter. But there's a little trick. At night you pop them outside because they do like the cold.
Uh-huh, that's got to be careful of that.
Yeah, in a sheltered spot, but don't forget to bring them back in tomorrow morning. Okay, so anyone that's got a cyclamen, I just put one out recently and I forgot about it for a couple of days. Not happy, happy chappy.
So what ended up happening there?
Well, all the flowers died.
Oh.
All the flowers died.
It is a sad story, isn't it?
Well, yeah. It is, especially seeing one of my sons gave it to me.
Oh, dear.
But he won't be listening.
Okay, excellent.
He'll be out working, so he won't
be listening. Well, I suppose the thing with those particular plants, you just got to keep in mind you're buying yourself a job that you need to do twice per day.
Yeah, that's all. And nothing very difficult to do.
Mm.
And we also need to look at Camellia japonicas now because they're starting to get flowers. We've got Sasanquas out in flower, but this is the japonica, which doesn't like the full sun like the Sasanquas. So they will grow in a semi-shaded position, Mark, and they get the biggest flowers on them. They're fabulous. But they also double bud, so you've got to disbud them. Is that a good word to use, disbud?
It is now.
Yeah. Well, you take...
Debud, maybe.
Debud, disbud. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
well, we better not get too technical. We haven't got long, have we? So that when you disbud, that makes the other bud come out bigger and better.
Uh-huh. So, again, that's a nice little bit of homework for us.
Yeah, it is. That can keep them going in the garden, don't you think?
That's exactly what I was thinking, Judy.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, I think our time limit has just about expired.
Yes,
so you were able to help a whole ton of people today and some great advice there as we head towards Easter. Have yourself a happy Easter as well because of Easter Monday next week you get a week off.
Oh, do I? That's right, I do.
You do, yeah.
But I don't need the day off. Do you want to come in?
No.
It's not mean man.
All right, Judy, appreciate it. As always, the pleasure is ours, and you have yourself a great week and Easter. We'll catch you in a fortnight.
Okay, thank you, Mark.
There she is, Judy Sharp, wrapping us up with Gardening Talkback this week. Again, reminder, no Gardening Talkback next Monday, so save your questions up for a fortnight from now.